right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, my good friend, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I just wanted to, just for a moment, take a respite from what is happening in Ukraine and across this nation, but across the world. But you can't. I mean, it's there, and it's not going away. It's day 16. It's now day 16, Sandy. You and many others have had a chance to look at this. What are your thoughts now, 16 days in? Did you, how much longer can this thing go on?
Well, unfortunately, I think for the Ukrainian people, it can go on quite a few days longer. I mean, I say unfortunately because I think the inevitable result is going to be a lost war and lots of citizens lost and lots of destruction across the country. But I think their resistance is quite profoundly above expectations, number one. Number two, they're getting provided by us and by other countries with some very sophisticated defense weaponry that allows them to take on tanks and helicopters and planes pretty successfully. So it's going to cause Russia to lose a fair amount on the battlefield. It's causing Russia to lose a great deal of treasure in the world generally and at home. I think they're headed for something that looks a great deal like the Great Depression in terms of what's going to happen to the Russian economy, what's happening to the Russian economy. So we basically have a tragedy unfolding that includes both sides in this war. I mean, of course, there's aggressors and victims in a superficial sense, but in a war, everybody's a victim ultimately.
So, Sandy, the fear that I have is the longer this goes on, the more collateral damage that's built up, the more that Russia loses more and more of its weaponry, the more dangerous Vladimir Putin is going to become, because he's no dummy. He knows that Ukraine is being propped up by the United States and others. And, you know, is there a fear that the fact that they're holding out, that he becomes more psychotic or just more, you know, more dangerous?
More aggressive. Yeah. Yes, I think there's a definite fear of that. And there's also a fear that the longer this goes on, the more collateral damage there is, the more pressure we'll generate in the United States and elsewhere around the world for the NATO nations and the United States to do things that could be viewed as getting into it, which would then be cause for Russia to definitely step up the nature of what they're doing in the war and the kinds of weaponry they would use. And yeah, it becomes a much, much more dangerous circumstance. I mean, I think diplomacy is an important thing right now to solve this before it inflates into a major conflagration that is something that really does look like a world war.
You know, Sandy, I don't know if I do know that Russia and Ukraine are having peace talks. I don't know who's brokering those talks. I'm pretty sure the United States is not involved in that. Is it, who would be at the table? The United Nations? I mean, who would be at the table, or are they trying to broker this themselves?
No, there have been, I think Israel has stepped forward in the last couple of days saying they are interested in playing a broker role. France had tried in the past. I think a number of nations will. It won't be the United States, although obviously the intelligence arrangements will permit the United States undoubtedly to have a great deal of knowledge about what's going on in the diplomacy and in the discussion of what is a settlement.
You know,
the United States will have a lot to do with helping Ukraine understand what kind of a settlement they will need to agree to. There will have to be concessions, clearly, on both sides, but Ukraine will necessarily. I mean, what my understanding is that the most recent public pronouncement by Russia of what they would, how they would settle this, would be if Ukraine agreed that it would be neutral, and I think that the Ukrainians have publicly said they will agree to that. But then Russia is also saying, and we want Crimea to be officially then ceded to Russia, and we want the Donbass region, Donetsk, and to be settled in terms of what its status will be, and that status looks a great deal like being annexed by Russia as well. So the response by Ukraine was, we will give up no territory, but we'll agree to the rest of what Russia wants. So what it really comes down to is what's going to happen to territory. I'd be very surprised if Ukraine could succeed in regaining Crimea through the negotiating process. So my suspicion is what this is going to look like is Russia will get Crimea formally annexed and recognized by the rest of the world.
So that would,
that would be grounds for the rest of the world to lift sanctions against Russia, because the sanctions that had continued since 2014 had been there because of the annexation of Crimea, contrary to international law. So if there was a treaty that acquiesced to that annexation, that would remove the violation of international law that was the basis for the first round of sanctions in 2014.
You know, Sandy, when you're on the outside looking in at this and you keep seeing that there's no way Ukraine can hold out, you know, in the long run, this is a fait accompli. It's going to happen. And you just wonder when they finally say enough is enough. How many more lives, how much more of their country needs to be destroyed? You know, when, if ever, is there going to be a realization of that on the side of Ukraine?
Well, I think, I do think this. I think what Russia has come to realize is that if their intent with this war was to create what some people call a vassal state out of Ukraine, in other words, for Russia to install a Russian leaning regime in the Ukraine, which would be a staunch and controlled ally of Russia. I think he's realizing now that there's so much nationalism ongoing in the Ukraine that there would be a powerful insurgency that would necessitate the Russian occupation of Ukraine in order to accomplish that objective. And I think he's probably realizing that an occupation of the Ukraine would be an exceedingly expensive and dangerous long-term strategy for Russia, based on the level of resistance that is being realized in this war. I think that's where Putin made his mistake. I think he thought that nationalism was not a profoundly broadly based view in Ukraine, and that the invasion would result in the rapid folding up of the tents and the raising of the arms and surrender of the Ukrainians, and that didn't happen. And so now he's going to have to do a new calculus about what his long run strategy is.
It's long term, Sandy. There's no win for Vladimir Putin. The damage that is being done to the infrastructure of Russia and everything that they've attempted to rebuild after USSR was destroyed, and the financial footing that they've been working to try to rebuild, all of that is gone now. In the twinkling of an eye, he gave all that away. I mean, it's 36 plus years or whatever amount of time that's been that it took to build them to the 11th most powerful economic nation on earth. That's gone now. He's got to start all over from scratch again.
Yeah, well, I think to the extent that both the Russian people and the world could criticize Putin, it's been the fact that Russia is only the 11th largest economy in the world when it definitely by all accounts, should be much higher up the scale.
Right.
The kleptocracy is, as people are fond of calling the type of government in Russia, which is crony.
Which means what? Which means what?
Well, kleptomaniacs are people who steal things.
Oh yeah, I know what that is. Okay.
And kleptocracy just means that the small entitled group in the country are stealing the resources of the country for their own
right.
benefit, and that's more or less what's happening because Putin has ceded all of these natural resource businesses and others to a limited number of cronies who are. And the economy of Russia is unfortunately heavily dependent on natural resources. They've never built a manufacturing element to their economy, unlike China, that's rapidly building that, or even India. So Russia having to reboot its economy isn't as big a disaster as it could have been if Putin had actually done an able job of building an economy.
You know, Sandy, if it took him that long, as you stated, with the natural resources that Russia has, underground to build Russia, and the best he could do was 11th, imagine how much longer it's going to take now. It certainly won't be him rebuilding it. He's of an age where he won't be around long enough to do it. But is there any way out for him? And I think that's why they're saying that why this is such a dangerous time. There doesn't appear to be any face-saving place for him to settle.
Well, I think that's what's going on within Russia. The critics of Putin scratch their heads and can't figure out why in the world did this man, who everyone considered to be so shrewd, take this step when it's not only a near term but it's a long term disaster for Russia and undoubtedly for Putin.
So Sandy, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams is back. We'll be right back.